This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to New York, from the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. This is Basma Farhat speaking to you. Today we have an honored guest, Congressman John Conyers, who is here to celebrate not only his new re-election to Congress, but Martin Luther King's birthday. You can join us by going to www.paltalk.com and downloading and installing the software. From there, just create a nickname, and you can join us in our virtual auditorium every week to interact in person with our listeners and our guests. Or you can listen to us on our new network, BBS Radio, at bbsradio.com. Congressman John Conyers was reelected to the 14th Congressional District in November 2006. To his 21st term in the U.S. House of Representatives. We are very honored to have you here with us today, sir. Congressman Conyers has many, it is actually far too long and lengthy for us, but his sites will be posted in our room so that anyone that is interested in his total biography can either go to the People Speak Radio site, as well as the John Conyers site, which is being posted in the room as we speak. Hello, Congressman, how are you?
Basma, happy Dr. King's birthday.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Actually, you and I have met a couple of times at the ACC banquet, and when Madeline, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright at the Arab American Museum. Actually, I sat right next to you, and my cousin is Terry AWOL.
Yes, I knew you'd remember. Didn't he work in our office for a while?
Yes, as a matter
absolutely.
Of fact.
Absolutely. Very fine gentleman.
Very nice, yes. Well, very nice having you here with us today, and I know that you do have some time constraints. You know, we'd like to hear briefly about your events today with the Martin Luther King rally down in, was it in Detroit that they had it?
Yes, there was one in Detroit. Matter of fact, there were two, and actually I'm going to another later on, but the one at Central Methodist Church in downtown Detroit on Woodward Avenue was the place that Dr. Martin Luther King would come frequently around the Easter celebration or Good Friday and deliver the sermon. He'd done that more than once. And we were in the church that he was so honored to be invited to and that he felt a very close connection with. Detroit, incidentally, was a place where the support for the civil rights movement was very strong in those days, and he or Reverend Abernathy or Andrew Young or Dr. Joseph Lowry frequently came out our way. At that time, Reverend C.L. Franklin was a very good friend of his and of Adam Clayton Powell, and it was through them that I began to learn about the civil rights movement and planned to give them as much time as I could when I finished law school, and I was happy to do that. It was a great experience. I got to meet Rosa Parks and Coretta Scott King and Fannie Lou Hamer and other of the great leaders of that time. But I had no idea that eventually I would end up as the member of Congress that would offer his birthday as the first national holiday to be celebrated of any African American. And it is being celebrated with great enthusiasm across the country. It's not just another shopping day or a day off, as so many of our holidays have degenerated into.
Well, he was a great man, and indeed, I actually, doing the research before I spoke to you, I saw your pictures with Dr. King, and
yes.
I'm sure that was probably a source of great pride for you. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for steadfastly recognizing this man and bringing it to the attention of the community in the United States and making this a national holiday.
It took 15 years. And
wow, really?
Many thought that it would never happen. But the legislative process is quite unpredictable. And I'm working now on universal health care, which is coming along, but it too is going slowly. I'm working on a measure named H.R. 40 that calls for the first comprehensive federal study of reparations that has ever been held in this country, and that's taking some time. So with my experience with Dr. King's birthday bill, I'm used to things not going as quickly as we'd like it to.
Let me ask you something, Congressman, since this is a new year, and a new era is beginning in Washington. Many people in America today are saying that we need to step up, just as Martin Luther King stepped up, just as you stepped up to create this national holiday. What are we going to be doing in the first 100 hours? Congress will vote on the 18th on whether to roll back billions of dollars in subsidies and tax breaks to the biggest multinational oil companies and to use these in our best interest, I think, as human beings, to use these to save for promoting for clean and renewable energy, to help consumers buy clean energy, efficient vehicles, and also to help U.S. companies build products and jobs of the future. Do you see any of these things happening with our new Democratic Congress?
Absolutely. We've already started the first 100 hours, and we've agreed with the new Democratic majority and the first woman speaker in the history of our nation, Nancy Pelosi of California. Mm-hmm. We've agreed to, first of all, take care of all of the deficiencies in our homeland security that the 9/11 Commission reported, but that we failed to act on before now. And that was a measure that we passed. We passed an ethics measure to try to take some of the corporate and private campaign money, break the connection between the K Street lobbyists and the unusual influence that they wield in Washington, and try to bring the democratic system back to the people where it belongs. We have a lot of work to do in that area of corporate excesses.
Well, we certainly do. You know, I'd like to ask you, Congressman, today, in honor of Martin Luther King's birthday, a man who sacrificed his life for civil liberties, can you tell our listeners how you feel about our civil liberties and how they stand now in the face of things like the Patriot Act and some of the most recent offenses such as spying against Americans and eavesdropping on Americans?
Well, I
would assume that Martin Luther King, Dr. King, would be turning in his grave right about now.
Well, I I would think so too. And one of the great things that we've been opposed to, a number of us, particularly in the Congressional Black Caucus and in the Progressive Caucus, and among many members in the Hispanic Caucus, is the fact that we are unalterably opposed to the extension of the war in Iraq. And that's one of the jobs that this new majority will have to do to deal with it. But to get to your question, for those who think that we have to give up some of our constitutional rights or curtail our civil liberties because we're engaged in activity to reduce terrorism, we think that that is absolutely irrational and that we don't have to do it. And so the Patriot Act, which I did not support, is something that we have to really be very careful of. The president, who may have almost become delusional about this subject, is determined to increase the number of Americans fighting in Iraq. And what we're thinking is that this is against the views of the Congress. It's the it runs contrary to the views of some of his generals, whom he will frequently replace if they don't share his view of going forward to whatever it is he calls victory. And it certainly is not in accord with the American people, who, although Bush wasn't on the ballot, they were voting against the war and defeated many of his party that was supporting the war. So we have a difficult challenge, but I don't find much support around the country for the notion that we have to give up our civil liberties because we're trying to determine where terrorist threats may occur and how we can protect our homeland security.
Well, I certainly would hope that we don't have any support for such an inclination, that we have to sacrifice our civil liberties in the name of protection.
And, well, the Attorney General thinks so, and so does the President.
Exactly.
So somebody's supporting them.
And, you know, in light of the escalation in Iraq, sending more troops will do nothing to improve America's security. On the contrary, it would undermine the security of this country. It would jeopardize even more American citizens, American soldiers, putting them in harm's way for no reason that anyone has yet been. Even last night on 60 Minutes, when President Bush was on television, his statement about what was happening in Iraq and what he judged as a success in Iraq was that we eliminated a bad leader from the Iraqi government. Well, there are lots of bad leaders. What has that got to do with the security of the United States of America?
You know, your point is very well taken, because it has been during the Bush administration that America's respect as a promoter of democracy has gone down, and there are people now beginning to wonder what kind of democracy is it that we're trying to export. Because when you drop all of those bombs on areas that you're supposedly going for terrorists, the fact of the matter is you're frequently killing villages with women and children and farmers and ordinary people who probably don't like people that commit violent acts of terror any more than we do.
You know what I've found, Congressman, is that, and I believe it was Chris Hedges, he was a New York Times reporter, wartime reporter, and his statement was that there is no democracy if it is at the end of a bayonet. So if we go and we force democracy down people's throats, I think that's the antithesis of democracy. Let me ask you something, sir. Is it a realistic chance not only to censure President Bush and Vice President Cheney, but is there any kind of basis for any impeachment of this pair of now infamous administrators?
Well, with 2008 coming so quickly, we've got to correct as many of the problems they created. If we were to engage in two impeachment actions, I think it would really take us away from the energy that it's going to take to stop the war. There's a huge rally coming up on January 27th in Washington. People will be coming in from all over the country. But I don't think that we're going to be able to do all of that at once. And so I think that in last November, the voters of the country fired the Republicans and those that supported the war. What they'll be doing next year in the elections, besides electing a new president, is determining whether we've got enough accomplished that would warrant them giving even greater numbers of Democrats in the House and in the Senate. And it seems to me if that is the case, that what we want to concentrate on is getting as much accomplished as we can rather than to hold up the government to take one or maybe two, as some suggest, since many feel the vice president is just as eligible as the president for impeachment proceedings. So I recommend the former course, that we concentrate on getting a minimum wage, which we voted already, to permit stem cell research, which we have voted out, to make the country more secure with the recommendations that have not been implemented by the 9/11 Commission, and then move on to the difficult questions of how we create a full employment society. We're hurting now. This war is costing us, by estimates of the University of Michigan economists, $2 trillion a year. And we can tell because all of our infrastructure, including education, health care, even it's reaching into our pensions, have all been reduced. Leave No Child Behind is being less well-funded almost every year. And so we've got so many things to really accomplish and reverse the incredible tax benefits that go to gas companies. Have got to be rescinded. And as a matter of fact, we've got to get a lot more control of our reckless corporations, which now influence our government and are less and less under control of the agencies that are supposed to give them the privilege of being corporations. It means we've got our work cut out for us. And it also means that Dr. King's legacy is phenomenal. He spoke to all of these issues that we are still struggling with here today.
And that's kind of frightening, Congressman. Congressman Conyers, I know that your time is limited. We just have a couple of questions.
No, I'm going to have to leave you at this point. I'm sorry to do that, and I apologize, but I would like to come on your program again.
Oh, that would be wonderful. We will take you up on that. I'm afraid, and I appreciate under your schedule today, and I realize this was a fantastic day for you to come and join us. Thank you very much, and we will be in touch with your people again, and hopefully we'll have more time, because we have, like, a ton of people that are just clamoring to get questions at you.
Well, let's do it. I'm available, and maybe in the next couple weeks we'll be able to reschedule something.
Well, great. Then I will have our producer get in touch with your office, and we will work on that. You heard it, folks. Martin Luther King's birthday. This is Congressman John Conyers, a Democrat from the Michigan area, in his 20th term, I believe, 20th year. Fantastic. What an incredible. And for those of you that don't know, I will tell you that this man has just been an icon in the Detroit metropolitan area. Many of us know him. And he is the kind of man that you do want in Congress. Thank you, Congressman, for being with us today, and we really appreciate it.
You're
a great
very
day.
Kind, and a happy Martin Luther King birthday to you.
Thank you, sir, and to you.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody, for being with us today. You heard it. The Congressman has offered to come back real soon for us. And I'm sorry I couldn't take him any of the questions. His time was so limited due to his schedule today. There are three actual events for Martin Luther King's birthday today in the metropolitan Detroit area, and the congressman is speaking at each and every one of them. So he was strained for time, but I want to thank everybody for being with us today on the show. And that's all, folks. Now, tomorrow night, we tentatively have scheduled Congresswoman Waters, and hopefully you'll all be with us then too. They work. This is these are the people that are going to hopefully make things happen in the Congress this year. Thank you very much, and bye bye, everybody.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the table, by the relief of the fest, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest, the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.